Talk New York sports on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life, call his wife and
hey,
nothing to save
for
a day. How's your boy?
Vic Monaco here with you on the Fan. Good morning. Nothing if you're just waking up and you have no idea what happened with the Yankee game, don't ask. You don't want to know. Just forget about it. Go about your day. Don't ask anybody. Don't do yourself the disservice of finding out that the Yankees blew another disastrous game. That they were leading by 3 runs in the 8th inning, where, as you just heard from Manny in the update, an excellent starting pitching performance from Carlos Rodon with 11 strikeouts, one hit, solo home run, one hit over 6 innings, pitching like someone who was going to pitch in the postseason and get the ball for the New York Yankees. The offense did just enough. Volpe with a big 2-run hit. And then the bullpen. And Clay Holmes, I mean, the storyline from this game is Clay Holmes can no longer be the closer for the Yankees. Even guys like me, and yes, guys like me, who defend Clay Holmes. I do, and I still will on some level. I think last night he was brutally bad. I don't think we've seen much of this version of Clay Holmes. I think a lot of his blown saves do have elements of bad luck to it, but 11 is 11. I can't argue with 11. He turned it up to 11 on me. I can't argue with it. And after last night for me, and I know you've probably all seen it for the last 3 months, you're all smarter than I am, last night was the first night I really felt like it was a self-fulfilling prophecy that he was going to blow that game, that he felt it, the team felt it. He said in the clip there you've played in that you just heard in the update, the game got too fast for him, he was out of whack, he lost his arm slot, he lost his mechanics, it was the disaster. It was the terrible version of Clay Holmes that we've seen different times throughout his Yankee tenure. Not so much this year, believe it or not, with the 10 blown saves prior to this one. But 11's 11. And they have to figure out a way to bolster the back end of this bullpen. And when you watch this game, there are tons of people to blame for the idea that now they have lost first place. They are no longer in first place. They are half a game back, tied in the loss column with the Baltimore Orioles, who have been out pounding the Chicago White Sox. First place that they've held for a little bit now is now through their fingers. They no longer control their own destiny. And it's because of Brian Cashman. And there's a bunch of people to be mad about. But Brian Cashman right now, as I watched this bullpen, and we could scream about, oh, he's got to be out of the closer, and I'm open to it. But who are they going to? Tommy Kahnle, who blew a game the other day against the Cardinals and gave up a bases-clearing double. Cousins, who couldn't get out of the 8th inning in this game and had his role in the other loss to the Cardinals as well. Weaver, who's blown games. Who should they go to? Who do the Yankees have? And the answer is, right now, no one. Now, maybe they will transition one of these starters, Luis Gil, or I don't think it would be Nestor Cortez, but maybe a Clark Schmidt, someone to help in this bullpen. But until they do that, until maybe other guys come back from injury to the bullpen, they do not have another answer. They had an opportunity at the deadline, and Brian Cashman went into this season relying on Matt Blake and the pitching department here to do what they've done over the last handful of years and turn nobodies into good relievers. And this year, the magic ran dry. And at the trade deadline, he did not do enough to give this manager an opportunity to supplant Clay Holmes with a legitimate option. The Yankees don't have one. And speaking of the manager, he had one of his worst blunders of the season last night that absolutely helped cost the Yankees this game. And if it weren't for Clay Holmes spectacularly blowing a game where he gets the first out, gives up a single, walks two guys in a grand slam, if it weren't for that moment, the image of that ball flying out to left field and the Yankees walking off the field while the Rangers celebrate, we'd be more pissed off from Aaron Boone, who had an absolute mind-numbing mistake to allow DJ LeMahieu, first of all, to play in the game at all and play first base against left-handed pitching. But with a lead, a three-run lead in the eighth inning, he allowed DJ LeMahieu to still play first base defensively when he has been awful this year. There have been times throughout his career where he was brought over here to be this jack-of-all-trades, play all positions, including first base. And he's been the backup first baseman for this team for several years. And there have been times where he's done it better than others, but this year, he just had a terrible error the other day. And in this game, in the eighth inning, the easiest of ground balls I've ever seen in my life somehow magically got lost in the lights. And it opened up the eighth inning and allowed the Texas Rangers to score two runs that absolutely impacted the ninth inning and what happened there. And it makes no sense with Rizzo on the bench. And something that this manager has done time and time again with first base all year long. With Ben Rice at first base, whenever he played, at any moment he had to, this manager quickly went to LeMahieu to play first base defensively. Over and over and over. And yet with these games that the Yankees can't lose, he does not go to his best defense in the end of the game. And it absolutely cost them. And it's cost them that they're not playing their best roster. We all know DJ LeMahieu doesn't have a role on this team, and yet he's still here. We all believe that Jason Dominguez would be a better option in left field, and yet he's not here. And right now, Clay Holmes can't be the closer, and yet that's still the case at the moment. And the Yankees are not playing their best team. The Yankees don't have their best roster. The general manager, who I've praised as well, did a terrible job at the deadline helping impact this bullpen. And right now they are losing games, whether it's to the Cardinals after battling back and tying a game in seven, or the Rangers when they had a three-run lead in the eighth inning. They are losing games right now they can ill afford to lose if they want to win this division, get a bye, and give themselves home field advantage throughout the American League playoffs, which they will desperately need if they want to get back to a World Series for the first time since 2009. And games like last night have come far too often. And it's just, they've done everything you can to lose these games. They get shut down by left-handed pitching if they can pitch. If they shut down, if they actually pitch well, they can't hit, certainly against left-handed pitching. And they leave a village on the base path. If the starting pitcher actually gets out of the first inning without giving up four runs, the bullpen blows it. They have done everything you possibly can do to blow these games through a stretch where they were supposed to be getting fat against under 500 teams. And instead, they've allowed the Orioles to hang around, and now the Orioles to pass them, and they have 23 games, I believe, to try and find a way to win this division. And they have 23 days to find out what their best roster is and how to implement it and get it going for the postseason. And right now, it's hard to have any faith they'll do it. 888-808-1019. And the Mets, on the other hand, everything coming up roses. Yes, they're in a different position. They're chasing the Atlanta Braves a half a game back out of the wild card for that third wild card position. But right now, they have an MVP in the middle of their lineup, as well as the Yankees, obviously. But Lindor just continues a home run, a two-run shot last night, as well as a big double late in the game to blow it open. He's been everything you could possibly want, and this starting pitching from the Mets is outrageous. They have the best ERA in baseball since June. David Peterson is 9-1, pitching to a sub-3 ERA, and dominating and getting 11 strikeouts on swings and misses from high fastballs. Manaea, same thing, 11, 10 strikeouts on every turn. This starting pitching has been brilliant. The middle of the lineup, now you've seen the big guy, Pete Alonso, start to hit some home runs. Vientos continues to show his power. Lindor at the leadoff spot has changed the team, and this starting pitching, which has been good for a while now, is starting to really dominate, give you innings, and they have made up a ton of ground in a short time and find themselves three games back of the Diamondbacks and a half a game back of the Atlanta Braves. That's the baseball scene, as we will start to shift the shows here over the course of this week into football as we are approaching the football season. And we'll get into the Jets here in a little bit, but now your baseball calls. Phil in Manhattan. What's up, Phil?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, I'm calling about the New York Yankees. To me, the New York Yankees have totally disgraced themselves, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees do not make it into the playoffs.
That would be quite the feat. They are currently 10 games up on the last wild card. So they would have to blow a 10-game lead with 24 to play, 23 to play. That would be tough.
Yes. Yeah, I could see it happening.
No, it's not going to happen, but that's okay.
I hope it doesn't.
It's not going to.
I really don't. I'm a Yankees fan, by the way.
No, I hear you, this is what I'm talking about. Like, let's just be mad at the reasonable level to be mad. They're going to the postseason, okay? You can lock it up, take it to the bank. They're not going to blow 10 games in 23 games. They're not going to do it. Could they blow the division? They already have. So they have to battle back to get back into the division lead, but they are not going to miss the postseason. And they haven't disgraced themselves. They have still October to do that, so don't worry about it.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm a Yankees fan. I want to see the Yankees succeed, but I'm pessimistic Phil now.
Well, pessimistic Phil, you can be. There's certain levels of pessimism. They're going to the postseason. It would be an epic collapse. They've got Judge, Soto, and Cole at the top of the rotation, and the Red Sox have just lost two, and that's the team. It would be the Boston Red Sox, who are now one game over 500 at 70-69. And the Yankees are 10 games clear of both them and the Tigers and the Mariners. It would take an a collapse of epic proportion. They would probably have to not win another game to miss the playoffs. So don't worry about that. Worry about the division. Worry about reasonable things. Worry about how they're going to fix this bullpen if and when they get into the postseason, whether it's a wild card appearance or a divisional title. How are they going to close games? Who's going to pitch the last two innings? Let's worry about that as opposed to magic collapses. Carmen and Lyndon. What's up, Carmen?
Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. You know, tonight, again, I just wonder how many pitches did Rodon have after the six beautiful innings that he pitched?
It was right around 100. I think it was like 98,
99. So forget what I was going to say. I didn't realize.
They didn't pull him that early. He did have 11 strikeouts. He threw a lot of pitches. It was time for him to come out. They got through the seventh. And if it wasn't for DJ LeMahieu blowing the easiest ground ball I've ever seen in the eighth, it's a much more comfortable game for Clay Holmes to blow in the ninth. So,
Instead of being 4-1, it was 4-3 at the end of the eighth. But I understand that. The word is inconsistency, but the big word is what you just got done saying. They're in the playoffs. But what the heck are they going to do as far as a closer? Forget this thing about Holmes with soft contact. He seems to walk a lot of people. Like in that ninth inning, he walked two guys back to back. He just finds ways. 11, it's the most in the bigs, the most in the majors is 11 blown saves.
That is correct.
They're not gonna go very far in the playoffs if they don't find an answer. Well, and something should have been done at the deadline.
Yeah, bingo. That's the real problem I have. You've seen, that trade deadline. They had two things to accomplish that Brian Cashman had to on a season where. We all know, right? Forget Juan Soto, everything. It's another Yankee season. It's coming off 82-80. They had to give this team the best chance at the deadline. And they had to get a bat, preferably two, but they had to get a bat, which they did in Jazz Chisholm. And you can't quibble with it. It might be the best overall trade, offensively, certainly, of the entire deadline. All right, I'm not in the mood for giving Brian Cashman praise. I'm not, because I'm frustrated with the bullpen. But the Jazz Chisholm trade has been an excellent trade. He's brought them athleticism. Barring a short spurt of like a three-game stretch with five errors, he's actually played third base pretty well. And he's brought them He's hitting like 330. He's got 9 home runs, 25 RBIs, 1.1 OPS, and he's stealing bases. He damn near scored from first on a single in this game. Like, he's brought them a bunch of different stuff they desperately needed. He's been a great acquisition. But the other was to legitimately give them a chance of having another arm in the back end of the bullpen. A swing and miss type arm, certainly, because they are lacking that. And they got Leiter, who hasn't been able to get anybody out. Mark Leiter has been atrocious. They did nothing. They were unwilling to part with anyone to legitimately help this bullpen. And Brian Cashman is without question to blame. And there's a bunch of different, like, we're talking about it. There's a lot of question marks. We talked about it yesterday more specifically. Today we focused on the disaster of this game last night. But we've talked specifically about this roster and the idea that DJ LeMahieu is still allowed on this team. The idea that Jason Dominguez, a player who came up for them last year and was unbelievable for 2 weeks, who is now, I just saw in this game last night, he got another RBI single. He's been hitting for the last 2 weeks in AAA. And they've got Verdugo, who struggled all year, having the worst year of his career. They owe him nothing. He's a free agent at the end of the year. They need to put their best foot forward. And the idea that the manager was asleep at the wheel and not making sure that their infield defense was at its premium late in a game with a 3-run lead is inexcusable. Hector in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, good morning, C-Mac. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. I hate to be a dead horse, man, but, you know, the whole Clay Holmes thing had me very worried, like it has everybody else worried. And can you just imagine if it was not half as bad and only half of those saves, which is still bad, but six, we'd be up.
Well, again, let's just clear something up. I get your point, but the Yankees did win 3 of the blown saves. So it's 8 losses of the 11 blown saves. So half would be 4. But that would still put them up 3.5 games. There's no doubt. I mean, but every team blows saves. You wanna go count how many blown saves the Orioles have? Your line's terrible. I'm gonna let you go, Hector. I'm sorry. I don't even want to play that game. I'm talking about solutions to the problem moving forward, because they have one. I can't go back and talk about if only. If only he didn't blow those saves. He did. And again, last night he was particularly bad. I still believe in Clay Holmes. I'm one of the fools. I am. I still look at his numbers, and you look at most of those blown saves. I know, again, 11 is 11. I can't argue with 11. It's too big a freaking number. But if you watch a lot of them, obviously the one in Baltimore, they fell down. I'm sorry. But when fielders fall down, I tend to give the pitcher a break. He got 4 outs that game and still got a blown save. But that's only 1 of 11. But if you watch them, for the most part, we have seen stretches of Clay Holmes be brutally bad. He has not been bad this year. He just hasn't been. If you watch the games, it's a little hit here. It's an infield roller. It's a misplay by the shortstop. He can't stop the bleeding sometimes. It ends up giving the hit. The one bad one where he gave up the home run in Boston, and obviously last night, he's given up 3 home runs on the season. Like, we talk about things you want from closers and things you don't. You don't want walks. He walks too many guys. Right? You don't want, you want the ability to strike people out. He does strike out people more than 1 per inning. I mean, one per inning. He's doing better at it than you think, but he's not a strikeout pitcher, quote unquote. And the other one is you don't want to give up home runs. The guy's given up 3 home runs all year. He doesn't give up home runs. He's pitched relatively well even while giving up blown saves. Last night was different. Last night he couldn't find the strike zone. Last night he was atrocious. And last night, for the first time, it felt like the 9th inning was too big for him. So now what do you do? I think it's quite clear. Every other time, every other blown save, the manager has stood up there. Not only the manager has, but so has the captain of the team, and Aaron Judge, has stood up there and defended Clay Holmes and had his back and talked about he was still the closer. That was not what Aaron Boone had to say last night. I think there's a chance he's getting taken out of the closer's role, and now what do they do? And really, the only option for me is to do something I haven't wanted to have done all year, and that's talk about Luis Gil in the bullpen. And you'd have to do it soon, right? Right now, they're going to go through one round of 6-man rotation because Luis Gil's back against Chicago, so is Clark Schmidt. So now you've got a six-man pitching rotation. They're going to piggyback Nestor Cortez with one of them, but they're going to have a six-man rotation at least for one way through. But here's the problem. There's a handful of games left. They have 3 weeks. They have a month left in this season. I don't want to just throw Luis Gil into the closer's role. He's got to be in the bullpen, make some appearances, adjust to being a reliever before I just give him the closer's role. So you're talking about having to make a decision on this soon. Now, Clark Schmidt has pitched out of the bullpen. He's pitched out of the bullpen in the postseason. He's had some experience with it. I'm okay with that, but the same thing. I'm just going to make him my closer? Decisions have to be made right now about what this roster is going to look like. And it's enough of this crap. It's enough of trying to get DJ LeMahieu hot. It's enough of trying to get the left fielder hot. Like, it's done. They're not. DJ LeMahieu is 35 and old and tired, and he can't field ground balls. Verdugo has been terrible all year. It's enough. And those aren't even the reasons they're losing. And it's pissing us off. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm all right. All right. You know, Clay Holmes, just like Boone kind of showed, he's not the closer anymore. I mean, I even know he's saying he still is. I like Tony Kahnle. You guys only give up one run since the mid of July. I mean, there's your numbers. You look at those numbers.
I just watched him throw seven straight change-ups and the last one off the wall with the bases loaded. We just watched him implode against the Cardinals.
Yeah, but one run since July, mid-July.
Yeah, again, they'll throw him out. I'm open to anyone. I'm with you. It's 11. Clay Holmes has to be taken out of the closer's role. I don't see a way around it. I don't trust Tommy Kahnle. I don't. You could try him. You could try him. You could try Weaver. Try him. I don't think they're great options. You could try Cousins. I don't think they're great options. I still believe the best version of this bullpen is with good Clay Holmes closing. I know that's crazy to a lot of you. I hear you. I'm just telling you, you look at his stuff. You look at all the other, the actual barrel rates and the contacts and everything else that goes with Clay Holmes. He's their best reliever. He was an all-star for a reason. He's their best reliever. But he's been so bad, and they've played poorly behind him, and now last night was really the first time for me where it felt like the entire team knew he was going to blow the game, and he felt it too. And I've argued that the ninth hasn't been his problem. Last night, the ninth was his problem. You have to make an adjustment. You have to make a move. You want to try Tommy Kahnle? Great. It's not good enough. And Brian Cashman didn't do a good enough job.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning. You know, yesterday was the first day of school for my kids. It was supposed to be a good day. It was the first day of school. My first day my son got on the bus. I told you it's going to save me about an hour worth of sleep. But, you know, it got off to a rough start this morning when I guess it's not a new trend. I guess we've been doing it forever. I don't remember when we didn't do it as a kid at all. But, of course, now first day of school is pictures in front of the house all over the place holding up the board that says, you know, Tommy's first day of second grade, you know, all the nonsense. You got to take the picture then. And the mornings are me. My wife leaves early in the morning to go to work. So I'm getting them dressed. I'm doing their, you know, putting the gel in their hair, slicking their hair back and combing their hair. I'm putting the board together and taking all these pictures, which is, they don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. and I'm in front of the house, and of course, my wife was putting the board together, and she has these like old school kind of, I don't even felt. I don't think it's felt because you like, you put it in, but it's like a fabric blue line thing, like very old school. It looked like the, you know, Cary High School class of 1994 or elementary school 94, the little, you know, square like picture frame looking thing where the letters are little actual things that you plug in and they stick in to this board. And apparently we were short an R and a G. So I had to do my youngest son, kindergarten, and do all of his pictures with his board, then take that board, take the R and the G from kindergarten or whatever, and put, you know, first day of second grade with a G. Like, I'm, like, manipulating letters, writing this whole thing out, taking pictures with one kid, then taking it while the other kid's like, what am I doing? I'm like, just wait, I'm going to get your board together. Now there's no pictures of the two of you. So we both can't use the board? No, not at the same time. I got to get the letters. And they don't want to be there. They're in front of the house, side of the house. Oh, get one doing this. Oh, someone made cookies. Hold up the cookie. I'm like, oh, my God. So just the absolute worst. Why? What? Just go. Just enjoy that it's your first day of school. You got to take a million pictures. Hold up a sign. You see it from all, like, everyone posts them. I don't want to knock everyone, you know, but it's just like, what, their favorite thing, their current favorite TV show, their favorite toy, their favorite this, all in the picture they're holding up before the first day of school. I don't know when we, was it like this before Instagram, or is this like, Instagram has just changed us, and all the social media has just changed us to a point where it started simple. It started with pictures of our Caesar salads. It started nice and easy. And now it's just to the point where, oh, my God, if you go out to dinner and you reach for the appetizer before all the pictures are taken, they might take your hand with you. Don't touch it. All right, I won't touch it. And now, like, at the before the first day of school, it's a whole picture show, and I'm not a photographer. Like, and every year it's the same pictures. I mean, it's in front of it's on the front porch. How creative can I get? Taking it from all angles. I'm on one knee. Oh, look at this uplighting. It's the first day of school. That's all. So that was my morning. And my night ended with Clay Holmes. Who needs it? We got football coming around. And hopefully the Jets can do the same thing the 49ers did. And we talked about, you know, Trent Williams was going to be such an impactful player for the 49ers. They could live without Ayuk if they didn't come to terms with that deal. But especially with Hassan Riddick and the pass rush of the New York Jets being maybe one of their question marks on their roster, the idea that the 49ers would be without their all-world left tackle, it felt promising heading into that game. He obviously ends his holdout, signs the contract. Now, he hasn't practiced, he hasn't been around, but you assume someone of his age playing a position like left tackle, probably easy plug and play. He'll be in there against the Jets. And so now everyone turns their eye to the Jets. And if they can get Hassan Reddick in the building, and now they've made some moves that's going to open some money, they've reworked some contracts. Don't know if that's going to go towards Hassan Reddick, who was at a charity event in Jersey City today, and of course did not speak to the media. What a shock. I thought he was going to sit there. I thought he was going to do his charity work and then come outside and answer all questions for a half hour. He has nothing to say. The Jets have nothing to say. The 49ers can pay everybody. And as they get ready for this first week matchup, that's really, I mean, I expect this to last at least through the first week. Why? Because my guess is Hassan Reddick is betting on the idea that the Jets may struggle. He's playing the leverage game of hoping that the talking points are not how the Jets won week one or how good Aaron Rodgers looks, but instead it's how Brock Purdy was able to stand in the backfield all day long and pick apart the New York Jets, and Deebo Samuel had an enormous day, and Kittle in the end zone. Like, that's what he's hoping the storyline is coming out of week one. I don't know how long it lasts, but I'd be surprised. I know they've tried to move some things where we've heard nothing about it. They're not talking. No one's budged. he was at this Jersey charity event taking pictures and signing Jet stuff. So, but he would answer no question about whether he wants to be a Jet or not. But my guess is this at least gets into the season, because that's the only bit of leverage I could even think a sign Reddick has. If the Jets aren't going to budge, and I don't think they would, the only leverage he has is if the Jets have a miserable game. So I think you would think at this point it's going to be at least until after week one. So then the 49ers get their needs taken care of. They bring back their wide receiver. They bring in their old world left tackle. And they're ready to go Monday night. And the Jets, who I still believe in, obviously, who I think this defense can still create pressure, and who's this defense, you know, obviously, in my opinion, has as good a defensive backfield tandem as there is in the league. Plus, I expect this offense, and don't take it from me, take it from Bill Belichick. From a skill standpoint, I expect this offense to be pretty damn good, and I think they have a very good chance week one against the 49ers. And we'll find out who has the better of it after week one. 888-808-1019. We'll get into more football, have more of that discussion as we go through the week, obviously. Dan in Lafayette. What's up, Dan?
Yo, C-Mac.
What's up, Dan?
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Sorry you had to come back to the Yankees playing this way, but no. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Listen,
so.
I think we got to get rid of three people. Verdugo, replace him with Dominguez in left field. And I think Rizzo and DJ LeMahieu, get rid of both of them.
Oh, yeah, well, Rizzo's not going anywhere.
He should.
And who's going to play first base? Oh, no, stop.
Ben Rice, back at first.
No, thank you.
Why not? He was doing pretty good.
No, he wasn't.
I thought so.
No, he wasn't. He's not good defensively, and he stopped hitting. I'd much rather have Rizzo in there. Yep.
Well,
I'd much rather have Rizzo. Rizzo has a World Series championship. You know, I know he hasn't hit that much, and I'm not expecting him to go nuts, but like, I know he's going to play good defense, and he's a veteran who's won a World Series, you know, broke a 100-year streak. Like, he is I'd much rather have Rizzo in there than Ben Rice. Much rather have Anthony Rizzo. Much. LeMahieu needs to go. 100%. Now, I don't know if they need to cut Verdugo, but they should bring in Jason Dominguez and play him in left field. There is no doubt in my mind. I don't know why they're not doing it. Other than, and listen, Verdugo does come, this is where I separated from, because those are the right things to do. But that's not why they lost last night. Verdugo got an RBI base hit. It's not why they lost the series in Washington. LeMahieu had three hits. Soto had zero. Like, it's not just as easy as to say that's why they're not playing well, that's why they're losing. Those are the talking points around it. That's why they're losing, and it's because of loyalty. I don't know if it's about loyalty. I think they're stupid. I think they're flat out wrong and think it's what gives them the best option to win. I think they think that Dominguez hasn't had a lot of at-bats. Let's just get him as many at-bats as we can in AAA while we try and get Verdugo hot, because if we get Verdugo playing well, he's our best option. I think that's what they think. I don't think they're doing it out of loyalty. I don't think they're doing it for any other reason than they believe it's what's in their best interest to win. I think they're wrong. Brian in Milburn. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
I want to say to you, sir, you're right. You're stupid. Because there's no way in God's earth you look at Clay Holmes and think he could be the closer for a world championship team. I don't even get up this time of morning to call the radio station. But when I woke up and look out, how he blew the game. They got to stop.
Yeah.
See, the Yankee. Hold on. The Yankee problem is, like you said about DJ LeMahieu and the other guy with Dugo and Clay Holmes, they're not man enough to admit when they're wrong. And that's a bad human being on the planet Earth. If you're a man on this planet Earth and you can't admit when you're wrong, you're always going to be lost, and you're always going to miss these finer things in life. And that's the problem with the Yankees. They can never admit when they make a mistake.
I get that. But, like, everyone's like, oh, they're afraid to look bad. Like, they're getting killed. And Cashman also drafted and developed Dominguez. Like, he needs to win. He doesn't need to be right with Verdugo. Like, I get everybody says that, and there certainly have been instances of it. When they gave a long-term contract to Hicks, okay, they gave him a long-term contract. He's still under contract next year. All right, that made sense. All right, they didn't want to admit failure on that long-term signing. This is a one-year deal that, honestly, Verdugo could be sold as a signing that they had to make because of the absence of Dominguez. Well, Dominguez is back. Like, I don't think it's the same. They're afraid to admit mistakes. Dominguez would have been the starting center fielder for this team if he never got Tommy John surgery. Like, it isn't some sort of ultimate failure of admitting Verdugo was a mistake. Hicks, I get. That's the one where I admit they kept running Hicks out because they gave him a seven-year contract. Verdugo, they traded Weissert for. And they brought him in because Dominguez wasn't here. Now they're not bringing Dominguez back because they're afraid to admit they were wrong with Verdugo? Like, I just don't think that doesn't compute to me. They think Dominguez hasn't played enough. They think he's coming off Tommy John, coming off an oblique injury. He's got less than 100 at-bats or whatever it is in AAA this year. And they feel like he's not a better option than if Verdugo is hot. And they think that they could just at any point just bring up, make that decision and bring up Dominguez and just play him. I think they're doing it because they think it's what's best. I honestly don't think they're going around going, well, listen, we all know that Verdugo sucks and Dominguez would be better instantly, but I can't do it because it makes the trade for Verdugo look bad. Like, I don't think that's it. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's more likely that Judge loves the guy, and Judge was part of the reason and the main reason they brought him here, and Judge has been talking about bringing him here for years, and Judge and the team think he's important to the locker room. Like, I think that's a more plausible excuse, as stupid as that is. I think that's a more plausible reason for what's going on here than Cashman afraid to admit wrong when the only reason he's here is because Dominguez got hurt. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. There have been times where that makes sense. Hicks, that made sense. The Verdugo era doesn't make any sense. He'll be praised. Like, he's afraid he'll look bad. He's getting killed every day for this. By media and fans alike. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
I've been overseas for 11 days, so you're the first guy I called. I don't remember last time
vacation?
I was in Europe. I was on a Viking tour. And obviously,
nice.
Viking
cruises. Very nice.
Yeah, and I wasn't able to keep up with everything. But, you know, listening to you, I'm catching up a little bit. I thought maybe...
Well, yeah, here's the story. The Yankees are pissing us off.
Well, you know what, C-Mac? I'm just hysterical. You have to take pictures after something like that. That must have been a joy.
Thankfully, that was this morning. The blown save was last night. But yes,
right, last night.
Just that it falls on me. And I understand my wife works. A ton falls on her. Don't get me wrong. When it comes to the kids, she does way more than I do. But, like, you know, I'm on 24 hours of no sleep. I gotta put gel in their hair. I got to get them dressed while feeding them breakfast. They're fighting each other. They want to get dressed immediately. So now I'm paranoid with brushing their teeth because if toothpaste falls on their shirt, it'll be it's picture form. And my wife has proof I'm an idiot. And then, like, anything else could go wrong with their stuff. Then the bus stop, anything could happen. They could fall, scrape themselves. And I'm taking all these pictures in front of the door. They don't want to do it. How many pictures do I have to take? I don't know. Enough. I'll tell you when we're done. She wants them on the front porch. She wants them on the side porch. She wants it by the swing. Like, I'm like, what a disaster.
Oh, my God. It's all about being a good dad, which
that's
I know
right.
You are. Hey, a couple of things real quick.
Yes.
Holmes has to go at this point. You got to go with Cousins. He's got a 103 whip. He's got 45 strikeouts, 33 innings.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't continue with that. There's no way. And he was on the, you know, he alluded to that before I went away, boom, that they could make a change. You know, the Verdugo, I think he's like 13 for his last 40. So
he's actually had the best stretch of his season.
Right. So I don't see them making that change. With the Mets, with the best story in baseball, And who would have thought that they're 22 games over 500, their last 68 games. Mm-hmm. Incredible story. I've been a real big critic of their pitching, but obviously Manaea's been great. I love him with the Giants. I want him to sign. Severino's been obviously great. And Peterson, who I liked over McGill, has been really good. And the back end of the bullpen, Stanek has been proven a winner. Still throwing 97. I think Garrett is decent. Diaz can get back on. So this has been an incredible story, and with all the injuries to Atlanta, I think it's catching up. But real quick to end it,
yeah.
C-Mac, who would have thought that there's no team that's on pace to win 100 games if that's 40 games the way the season started with the Yankees, the Orioles, the Dodgers, and the Phillies?
Yeah, no, the Phillies more than the Dodgers even. Yeah, those three teams got off to such great starts. The idea that none of them are on pace to win 100 games is kind of crazy. Are the Mets the best story in baseball right now, the way he put it? You got the Kansas City Royals in the playoffs right now, and they were a terrible, they lost close to 100 games, if not 100 games last year.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, so just real quickly, just because the way he put it fascinated me. Because we just talked about how there's no baseball teams that are going to win 100 games. And I'm thinking about it. What's the best story team-wise, not individual-wise, team-wise? What team is the best story in baseball right now? And I'm sorry. I don't think, no matter what the expectations were at the start of the year, I don't think you could say the team with the highest payroll in the sport a half a game out of the playoffs can be the best story in baseball. I understand why, and the reason why they have the high payroll with the expectations partly is how much money they're playing Scherzer and Verlander, which both of them have been injured and terrible, and Verlander is not going to hit the innings, so the Mets are going to luck out in that department and pay even less money next year. So I understand why their payroll is the highest in baseball and why the expectations were where they were, but I'm sorry. You can't have the highest payroll in the sport and be a half a game out of the playoffs and be considered the best story in the sport. You just can't. Doesn't mean that they haven't had a nice little season where so many things have gone right and so much fun stuff has happened and expectations have been raised. I think you have to make the playoffs now if you're the Mets. But I don't know if I can call them the best story. And as I look at it, like, I don't even know. There's not a lot of good ones. I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers not losing a beat after losing Craig Counsell. That's about it in the National League. I mean, the Padres, the Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. And then in the American League, it's the Kansas City Royals and the Cleveland Guardians. There's not a lot of stories. There's not a lot of teams who've had this miracle run. But it can't be the Mets. Can't be the highest payroll in the sport and be out of the playoffs and call it the best story. Cannot. But you can be one hell of a good team, and you can be have the best starting pitching in all of baseball since June, which is minor. It's crazy to me. And what we've seen from Peterson, his ability to get swing and miss this year, and in that game last night, if you watch, career high 11 strikeouts, throwing high fastballs by everybody. And again, this isn't the White Sox. The Boston Red Sox have the 10th best offense in baseball. They've scored the 10th most runs in baseball. And he was dominating last night. And what Manaea has done, and now the innings they gave him. And I talked to you yesterday about this specifically because it was Severino the other night. The answer that you got from Severino, like, there are crossroads in the seasons, and one of them was about a month ago, maybe a little less than that, when Severino had a couple of bad starts in a row, and everybody pointed to his innings limits. And he hadn't thrown this many innings since 2018, and what are they going to do now with him? Should they transition him to the bullpen? Should they have had the foresight to move him because you knew this was going to be his end of the season? And instead, he has really bounced back. He has pushed through. He's talked about his workout regimen and his diet and everything else. And whatever the case may be, he's still giving you 7 innings consistently. His velocity is staying through the games. His secondary stuff and location is all positive. He has completely broken through that wall and looks to be strong and should have no issue moving forward. And now you've got Manaea missing bats to the way he's missed bats and getting into the seventh, eighth inning regularly. Peterson, 9-1, and pitching the way he's pitching, 11 strikeouts last night. I thought this team had one way to win, and that was to bludgeon you to death and just pound you and have Lindor do what he's doing and Alonso hit home runs and Vientos hit home runs and score 6, 7, 8 runs a game, and hopefully you got enough pitching. And instead, right now, they have the best starting staff in the sport. And it's, you want to start praising David Stern? Start with the one-year signings in the rotation that he did this year while they move Scherzer and Verlander. Maybe the Mets rotation is the best story in baseball. All right, that's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Hopefully the Yankees can wash the terrible taste of last night out of their mouth with a win later tonight in Texas. Same thing for the Mets. Let's go Mets. Let's go Yankees. A little bit more football as we get through the rest of the shows. Everybody enjoy the warm-up shows next. I'm out of here. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.